I was taught years ago, every year at Christmas you should read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 19 in the King James. So if you don't have it and you want one, it's usually right there with the hymnals. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 19. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass that as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go up even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Judea, where David's city was, Bethlehem, the city of breads, what Bethlehem translates out, was just right outside of Jerusalem, about 8 miles away as the crow flies. But right outside the city was this town. And at that time, Judea was in a very dark position. And I don't mean physical light. I mean, they were being ran by a guy named Herod the Great. Herod wasn't the nicest guy. He did build great big buildings, and he was good at that. But overall, he was a mean guy. He didn't ever want to lose power. He even executed some of his own sons, his wife, in order to maintain power because he thought somebody might try to overthrow him. But he answered to the Romans who lived in the city of Rome, and he had to do what they said and gather enough money at tax time and send it to Rome so that they'd leave him alone. So basically he was buying his position, and so it was a dark time, and Jesus was born into just that time. It was a dark time. It was a cool part of the year, and there he was. The light of the world, Jesus Christ, was born into a very spiritual dark place. The country wasn't ran by people who were really in tune with God. Actually, we only know of two. There was Simeon, who had been waiting for the Christ child to show up, and Anna, a prophetess, who lived there at the temple day and night making prayers, interceding. And when they saw the Christ child later on, they said, this is what we've been waiting for. This is the one we've waited for. But by and large, most of the religious leaders did not want the Messiah to show up at this time because they had power, they had wealth, they had prestige. And they walked on everybody else that contradicted them. So it was a dark time for the children of Israel that lived in Judea at that time. And Jesus came into a place like the poinsettia. He didn't come all glorious and all grown up and people standing around like he was born as a young prince to a king. Instead, he was born in a cool place. He didn't get the best reception in the world. It wasn't like there was a crowd of family waiting there for him to be born and take little pictures of him and go around and talk. When they went to the inn that night, knocked on the door, they said, sorry, no room, but hey, if you want to go down to our stable, you can go down there and hang out with the animals, but that's the best place that we've got. And so there it was. He was born into this place, into this silence. And the only people are the only beings that really realized the import was the angels. And they were the ones there dispelling the silence and the quiet. But the only ones of all the people that had packed into the city of Bethlehem that day, the only people were those shepherds out there in the field. They were the people out there where it was quiet and they were listening. And lo, there was the angel of the Lord. Now, in that same idea, the angel said, do not be afraid. Behold, right now, we bring you good tidings. Listen to this. Behold, we bring you good news. We've got something here that's so important because today, for you in the city, is born Christ, the Lord, the baby that was prophesied. He's here. It wasn't a great army that showed up. It wasn't an emperor. It wasn't a general. It was a little baby, and that baby's destiny was to be the anointed one, the one called by God. This little bitty bundle was going to end up changing the course of all of history. This little bitty baby wrapped up in white cloth, laid in a feed trough, ends up becoming the one person who most influences the world. And he gave up all of heaven and he came to earth so that one day we could give up earth completely and go with him and be in heaven. Now, I do want to say this. If we happen to be in your life or in my life at this time, in a dark place, in a cold place, and I'm not talking about physical light, I'm talking about emotional, financial, health, whatever your problems are, if you feel like this is a dark place for you and nobody's giving you the reception that you'd really like to have, you know, somebody saying to you, come on in out of the cold, come into our place, we'll help you, we'll be there for you. Know this, Jesus came at this time of year. Jesus came for an appointed time, it says actually in history, at the most appropriate time, he showed up so that things could be changed. Now this is an aside and it's going to cost you nothing. Christianity is one of the most profound things that ever happened across the face of the earth. It's not a religion. Jesus didn't come to bring us a new religion. It's not a philosophy. We don't need a new philosophy. What he did bring us was salvation and the forgiveness of our sins. We don't need all that other stuff. We need somebody who can make a connection between us and God and get us to heaven. And where Christianity is and where Christianity, true Christianity, where people actually walk by faith in Jesus Christ and are led by Him, the culture that they are in becomes profoundly changed. And while there are people who will say, oh, we've always had murderers. Yes, we have. We've had murderers right from the beginning. Look at Cain and Abel. We've always had disease and sickness. Yes, we have. Look at the Black Plague and look at all the other things that swept across the world over the ages. We've always had accidents since Adam fell in the garden. We've always had problems. But back in the 1800s, when there were problems. Don't get me wrong. There were problems. But back in the 1800s, when Christianity was a main influence in the country of the United Kingdom, there was only 10,000 prisoners in all of the United Kingdom. That's about, if I remember all the numbers right, about 60 million people and only 10,000 were in prison. And the person who did the research said, if you research this, you'll find out that a lot of those people were in prison for things that we would call misdemeanors now. That the crime rate had been reduced so far down that only 10,000 people out of 60 million were actually jailed. I granted there were people who should have been jailed but weren't. Then a revival came over there. The Welsh revival. And Scotland had a revival. And about the turn, going into the 1900, or the year 1900, about that time, the beginning of the 20th century, this great revival swept across the United Kingdom. And at that time, Christianity so greatly influenced that country, there was only 3,000 people locked up in their prisons there for a while. 3,000 out of 60 million. Then you hear today, Christianity is a bad thing. Christianity is not a thing that we would want our kids to be raised with. We would rather have our kids to know and be set free. And yet, if they know Jesus Christ, they will be free indeed. For whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. And where Christianity is and the Lord is honored and people are walking by faith and understanding Him, the influence over the culture becomes so profound. Well, whenever it was in Wales, the revival was going on in Wales, they actually got rid of a lot of their police force. And some of their police force was reduced to nothing more than singing quartets. They had nothing to do but stand around and practice quartet music, and they would go and sing in different churches because they didn't have to patrol the streets, the grog houses, the inns, the packaged liquor stores, and these places were closing down because the people were converting and the owners were converting. Jesus Christ came into a place, into the world, and where He is, things change and do improve because of His presence. If you'll let me continue reading, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." Christ came down and He gave up the glories of heaven. He gave up the perfect celestial body that He had. He gave up the perfect communication He had with God the Father. He gave up the angels attending to Him. He gave up all the comforts. He gave up central air and central heating as far as we know. And He was born into that stable. He gave that all up, and He was born not into the rich family where He was, where God was His Father, but He transplanted and became an adopted child of Joseph into a poor family. His parents were so poor that you can read in Luke chapter 2 that when they brought Him to the temple to make an offering for Him, which they did, the firstborn of every son of every family, they brought Him, and they brought the poorest of the poor offerings. Two turtle doves. Pigeons and turtle doves are same family. That's all they had to give because they were so poor. But it says, what I read, that He gave all this up. He gave everything up that we might have all this stuff. He gave up the presence of God that we might have the presence of God, and our sins would not separate us from our God anymore. He gave up His life that we could have that eternal life. He became poor and unblessed because He said, my God, why have You forsaken Me? So that we could say, He will never leave me, nor will He ever forsake me. Paul says He became poor that we could become rich. You can watch this idea being played out, and I'd like to read to you a little more in the King James out of the book of Matthew. You can see how this blessing comes out. Paul talks about it in the Corinthians that I read in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. I want to read that at this point. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is He that is born the King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is written by the prophets, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not thou the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule over my people Israel. Then Herod, when he was privately called the wise men together, he inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with great exceeding joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The reason I'm reading that is because of what Paul says, and because we can see it illustrated here. He became poor. When he became part of that family, part of the family of Joseph and Mary, because he was there, they became blessed. They were in a position, they didn't have enough to, you know, bribe their way into the inn when they got there. By this time they had moved into some kind of a dwelling, but they didn't have a whole lot because evidently Joseph was working. He wasn't there at the house, and they presented this gold and frankincense and myrrh, and Mary was the one that was there receiving it on behalf of the Christ child. And God sent them all of this material wealth. And it turned out they were going to need that. That new family was going to need that material wealth. And he supplied them abundantly because they were going to have to dodge King Herod. He was going to come down there and kill that child. And they had to flee. They had to travel. They went to live in Egypt. So they moved down there and they had to have money to get started. And they had to have money to support them while they were down there. And God had met their needs through the wise men, gold, myrrh, and frankincense. All of this stuff was very, very valuable at that time. Now, all I'm saying this, what I'm trying to get across is this. That is what Christ came to do. He didn't come to create that new religion. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That was His words, not mine. He didn't say, I come in order to create a new priesthood. I come in order to build a great big new temple. I came in order to overthrow all the empires of the world. He said, I come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. The moment that we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, at that moment, God will start supplying blessings and they'll start journeying toward us. As we have need, God is going to provide. Now, this journey of the wise men took about 2 years because they said they saw his star and wanted to know where he was born. And if you read it in the original Greek, when they got to that house, it wasn't the babe in the manger anymore. The word there is actually a small toddler. So Jesus was up walking around by that time. So it took that long for this blessing to come to them. So it's true that when we accept Christ, if you haven't experienced that, then you really might want to rethink your salvation and give it a good thought, because it says, work out your own salvation. And it doesn't mean work as in physical labor. It means to put a pencil to it like an accountant does, to work it out, to figure it out, to sit down and give it some thought and calculation. Am I truly saved? Because He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. If you do not have an abundant life in Christ, and you don't see it or never have experienced it, it could be that, one, you're not really saved, you're just a church person. Or two, you're not walking by faith, because Jesus said this is a walk of faith. We've got to trust in Him. Jesus had to trust in His Father. He said, okay, God, I'm going to go down there and I trust you to take care of me, because I'm just going to be about yay big when I get there. And I'm not going to be able to do anything because you have got to take care of me and I trust you. He walked by faith. And when he was born, God said, okay, wise men, time for you to head out that door, because that kid is going to need to make a trip to Egypt and hide out down there for quite some time. And God sent the blessing, started out 2 years before it got there. The angel said, I come to bring good tidings. I come to bring you good news. And he does that for us. We need to learn to walk by faith and say, God promised he would never leave me nor forsake me, and God promised that this is good news and it's going to be a good life. And when I'm talking about the good life and the abundant life, I'm not talking about a pile of gold showing up on your doorstep and some people dressed in robes or strange stuff giving you frankincense or cinnamon or cumin or something like that. I'm talking about the blessings of God. He will start them off before you need them so that they will get there in time. So when you really need a particular blessing, it will be there if you're willing. Mary could have said, I ain't answering that door. I'm not going there. I'm too busy. I'm watching soap operas over here. Leave me alone. Go away. She would have missed it. But if we're walking by faith and we're trusting, God will send those blessings right to us, knock on our door and say, this is a gift from God to you. You're going to need it. Have a blessed year. Have a blessed time because God is here meeting our needs. And this is the way we are to walk expectantly, that God is going to take us through the rough times. He got them through a rough time of uprooting again and moving to a foreign country, Egypt. He got them through that. We are at this time of the year. Our Savior was born, and it says that He will save us, not just from our sins, but He will be with us, lead us, guide us, and direct us all the days of our life, and one day He'll lead us right into the very presence of God Himself. The angels came to proclaim good news. We today have chosen to celebrate December the 25th because Christ was born, and good news was brought to us also, a Savior. Not a philosopher, not a general, not a king, not a new religion, but somebody who can save us. And not only that, he says that he gave that all up, all of heaven up and all of its glory, he gave it all away so that we could have and enjoy that very glory. There was that trade-off thing going on. I'm going to give this all up and I'm going to take all your problems and issues. And then I'm going to die. I'm going to raise from the dead to prove that the deal is done and it's sealed and it's over with. You walk by faith and I will start bringing to you the blessings that you need in your life in order to have a blessed life, a good life. And I will be there for you and I will take you into the presence of God at a future time. And one day I will come back and I will yell and all the bodies of the Christians will rise. And your spirit and your body will be reunited, and that body will be perfect. Just like His body is, our body will be perfect also. These are the promises of our God, and that's why we choose to celebrate Christmas. This is the beginning of that promised fulfillment that prophets had made for years and years and years before. And we are the recipients this day, this age, in this now. We are the ones to enjoy it if we walk by faith and trust in Him.